insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters, I would like to welcome you to another of our programs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to benefit from more of the verses of His holy book. First, let's hear the verses.
وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى كُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ.
In the previous session, we started to explain verses 55 and 56, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with some of the previous verses, starts to explain and give examples of the special blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Jewish tribe, the Jewish nation. And this is, as I said, part of a series that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing Bani Israel, the children of Israel, especially the tribes in Medina, to be reminded of all the special blessings that was given to their nation. In these two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a story where some of the Jewish tribe started to say to Prophet Musa, after having seen all the signs, after having been shown what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done to them, the blessings, the miracles that Prophet Musa showed Pharaoh and his people. Some of them were pretty painful, like blood being in the water, and the others that have been explained in some of the verses that will come, inshallah, in the following surahs of the Holy Quran, which we will, inshallah, explain. After seeing that, and then escaping Pharaoh in that miraculous way of the Nile River splitting and Bani Israel passing through that, and then when Pharaoh wants to go through, the waters collapse and they drown. After seeing all of that, then they started saying to Prophet Musa, and much more of the signs, they start saying to Prophet Musa, we will not believe in God unless we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happened was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them out of away from their tribes. And a thunderbolt came, and these people, which were 70 people that had decided they wanted to go with Prophet Musa to see God with their eyes, they were killed. That was the punishment. They deserved that. After seeing all of those signs, just like all the other tribes, Ad and Thamud, that after seeing the signs they didn't want to believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the punishment. Now these people have seen all of that, and yet they're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show Himself. And this request, after having understood that, you know, being told by Prophet Musa on numerous occasions, God cannot be seen. Now they're putting up this request, knowing that that's wrong. This is what they deserved. But the blessing is at this part on, from this point on, where Prophet Musa asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please bring them back to life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his call and his prayers. They were brought back to life. So this was the blessing. Now there's two points in this verse, in these two verses actually, that we want to expand on. One of them I explained in the previous session, and that is the importance of realizing that we are not only capable of understanding things that we can perceive through our five senses alone. We have other means of understanding. One of them is the intellect. The other one is the soul, which the Holy Quran refers to as the fitrah, in at least one verse of the Holy Quran, where the people have got a spiritual relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in some narrations, the Ahlul Bayt have told us or have given us an example of that, and that is where, according to that example, which we personally, I think all of us have experienced, and all those that even reject, want to reject in our faces the existence of God have also experienced, but they don't want to accept that, is when we are left with no hope. The example in that narration is where people are left in a boat in the middle of the sea. There's a storm coming. There's no one. We feel absolutely hopeless. That hope in our hearts that someone will save us, that someone is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We feel we have that spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the version that we can only believe or accept what we can see or we can feel with our five senses is a flawed notion. It is something that today, especially in the West, it is in a concept that the atheists are always and constantly using to say, oh, we don't want to believe in God. As we said, rationally and logically, that is not right. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah told us that the believers, the muttaqeen, the people that are good people, they are righteous people. They are the ones that believe in the unseen. They believe in things that cannot be sensed in their, with their five senses, but obviously are logical things to believe in, rational things to believe in. Now, that was one point. The other point that is interesting in this verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I brought these people back to life after having been dead. It explicitly mentions this. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Then we raised you up after your death so that you might give thanks. This is not the only time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about bringing people back to life in this life. Now there's two prospects or two aspects to look at this story. One is regarding the issue of the hereafter. We have in the latter part of this surah, Surah Baqarah, a story of one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was moving about on his mule, and he passed through a village that all the dwellers of the village had died, and it was just basically ruins. And so he said, an amount of doubt came in his heart that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will you be bringing all of this back to life? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life for about 100 years and also his mule. And when he was again brought back to life, then he was showed that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings his mule back to life. All the bones came together and all of that. I don't want to get into the details. That's one. Another story is where Prophet Ibrahim was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take the lives of a few birds and then mix their meat and beat their meat together, make it a mix, and then call the birds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that, each one of those birds back to life from that same flesh that's all mixed up together. And the fourth example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran is the famous story of Prophet Jesus, that in a few instances in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at one point quoting Prophet Isa, another he himself is telling us that Prophet Isa would bring the dead back to life, people that had died One of the miracles of Prophet Isa was that they would be brought back to life. Now all of these, again, as I said, one aspect that we can look at this is that these are signs for resurrection, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect people after this life. But another point that is very important and crucial, and I need to emphasize this point here, is one of the beliefs that we have as the Shia. It is very clear in our scripture. It is one of the facts of our faith. Now, many of us, unfortunately, are not informed or too very informed about this concept, and that is the concept of Raj'a. The concept of Raj'a is that we believe at the end of time, at the end of time, before the Day of Judgment, basically, some of our imams will be coming back to life. This is a concept you can find in many, many different narrations, ziyarat and dua, supplications, and all of those. It's a very clear-cut belief that we have as the Shia. Now, it may be difficult for some to believe in this concept, and some who do not have faith in the Ahlul Bayt or do not believe in this school of thought have also objected this belief. However, I wanted to use this particular verse that we are on today and the others that I mentioned to emphasize that, first of all, logically, before even getting to the verses of the Holy Quran, logically there is no impossibility or improbability regarding the issue of bringing that back to life. There's no logical or rational reasoning that we could put up to say, oh, this cannot be brought back to life. A person that has left this world cannot be brought back to life. Also, the Holy Quran tells us that this has actually happened on numerous occasions, some of which I mentioned to you. The only thing is, we need to have authentic sources telling us that this will actually take place at the end of time, which, as I said again, we do have very authentic, numerous narrations. They're one of the most clear-cut beliefs that we have in our scripture. So, according to this verse and the other verses, this is not something that is impossible or improbable. It's actually happened in the past and it can happen in the future. And we have narrations that it will happen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have better understanding of our faith. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Oh.
حي يا قيوم